Oh, well, okay. Excited now. Should be a fabulous program.
I got my feet in cement. I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic. We are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Hello, everybody. It's Madge Weinstein, and you're listening to Eat This Hot Show with myself and my co-hosts, Auntie Vera Charles, and who's, by the way, your mythical auntie, and Wanda Wisdom, mythical Auntie Vera Charles. How is our mythical auntie today, Love AIDS?
I'm mythical.
Oh, that's great. Does that mean huge? Yeah.
It is huge. Mythical huge. Is huge. And because it's just a myth. It's a myth pronunciation of mystical.
I was going to say it's better than a popsicle.
It is, especially if you're Ethel Thayer.
And we have everybody's racist white supremacist drag queen, Wanda Wisdom, who loves the trannies.
Hello there, white ladies. Happy Turkey Day.
And I would just like to say for Wanda's fans, tranny, 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 tranny.
Thank you very much. I am on a crusade to use the words tranny and retarded as much as humanly possible.
Right. That's very good. So let's see.
You seem to be in rare form today.
Just
Ms.
a lot
Weinstein.
Of coffee today, and I'm.
Is it? Yeah, I can
you
tell.
Know, I've been farting this morning, and my farts have smelled so bad in such a good way, where it's to the point where I can't really discern my farts from the dogs.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
That's excited so really now.
Yeah.
I had
Should
a bit of a censorship
fabulous program.
I wanted to mention. There were a couple topics that were big in the news this week that suddenly I forgot because I didn't write them down.
Korea.
But there was something else too.
AIDS.
Yes, that's the one, the PrEP. But anyway, we'll get to those. But first of all, I wanted to discuss fisting.
Oh.
Yeah.
How?
Do you guys, do you ladies think that fisting is obscene?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's, well, I would say when
and we can hear the heels going backwards.
Clickety-clack,
tranny. The pedaling reverses. Go
ahead,
darling. Well,
whenever you are here, let me put it this way. Whenever you are ruining the elasticity of skin, I think that's considered obscene.
So aging is obscene.
Well, no, but I mean, if you were to stick your fist up your nose, I would be equally concerned.
Ouch.
Okay. But what about the anus? I mean,
when
it's a penis.
No, I think that is not right. Now, see, watch. I'm going to get a bunch of angry people after me now. I'm going to have trannies and fisters after me.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get...
Or maybe they can date.
I'm going to get...
Or fisting trannies.
I'm going to get fisted in an alley by a bunch of angry trannies.
Trannies.
True.
And black people.
Black no, black.
I don't know. I'll shut up now, but I really just don't understand why anyone would think that's healthy.
Okay. What do you think, Verades?
I don't personally want to fist up my ass, and I don't have a strong desire to put my fist up anybody's ass, but, you know, whatever floats your boat, it's your body, you know? And if that's what you want, that's fine. Just because it doesn't appeal to me, and it doesn't make it right or wrong. You got consenting adults, that's it. That's all that matters.
I don't know, but somewhere you got to draw the line.
Well, personally, absolutely, Wanda. Personally, you absolutely do have to draw the line. You know, I saw this... a video where this guy had this huge long dildo, and he was a very thin guy, and this dildo must have been I don't know, 2 or 3 feet long, 3 feet more. Anyway, he stuck it up his butt.
Okay.
And he kept pushing it in and pushing it in, which was amazing that it kept going in.
Sure.
Oh.
But then what he did is he turned around to the camera. And you know when you were a kid, well, maybe you guys, you ladies could still do this. I can't because I'm ugly and obese.
Mm-hmm.
But, Ransty, when you were a kid, you could, like, really suck in your gut really far and show your ribs and everything.
I never could, but okay.
Okay, well, he did this. He
in his gut. Oh, no.
Brody.
And I'm telling you something. He wiggled the dildo back and forth. And honest to God, it looked like a snake right under his breastbone.
Oh, I mean, my God. That's do you realize how many skinny queens are going to try that right now, including Reagan Fox?
Well, that's how far that's how far things go up into. I had no idea that they go up that far.
Where'd you think they go?
Well, you know, that's really true. I mean,
websites do you look at, Vera?
Mm-hmm. No,
send me the URL, please.
No, first of all, I don't remember. Truly, don't remember where it was. And a lot of people do is they send me stuff that they know are going to gross me out. Or
Cheryl Murkowski.
Oh Christ! Okay, now that I'm producing, I have to put that in. So
Showed you an example. I was playing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way
I could actually, if you give me the clip, I could actually put it in right away, so you wouldn't have to.
How do I do that? I want to be able to play sound effects while I'm talking. How do I do that?
This program called Ableton Live.
Okay.
That's why I've been using it for 5 years. I've used the same program.
So you're going to send it to me for free?
It's not free. I paid for it. It's one of those things that you don't really get for free very easily.
How much you got to pay?
It's a lot of money. It's like $300 or $400, I think.
Oh, that's okay. That's chump change for fisting trannies like me.
But can't you do that on the GarageBand?
Not live. I mean, I have to go back in and add them.
You can, there's a ghetto way to do it. You can use the Audio Hijack Pro to do it, too.
Do you know that ghetto is a terribly racist thing to say?
Yeah, it's like, and so am I.
I know what you're saying. Actually a good idea, Madge. I might just do that.
That's how I do it on the live shows when I can't really use, when I fuck everything up and can't use the material anyway, like last week. God, that was a mess, wasn't it? Ugh.
Well, may I please commend you publicly for being able to salvage that, because when I got your sound file last week, not only I synced it up as I always do in the beginning, and once you sync, we shout, for the people that listen don't know, we shout 3-2-1 and then line up the 3-2-1s, and then everybody's track is lined up.
Right.
Well, I lined you up, I lined Wanda up, and we were all synced, and like 3 minutes into it, all of a sudden you were unsynced. Not only were you unsynced, but you were echoing.
It was a disaster.
It was unbelievable. Well, shut up. I'm not done yet. God damn it. You just need
ahead.
No, I'm going to take my time.
Yeah.
Now, normally, see?
I'm going to actively listen. You know
what? I hate active listening, frankly.
The Japanese do it. It's a cultural thing.
How does the Japanese? Oh, I think I'm going to Japan for the day.
No, you can't go to Japan without me. Uh-huh. Take me with you.
I
will. Just don't make me fist.
You have to pay for yourself, though.
Oh, whatever. I never pay for
myself.
It's on
sale. It's like $800. Get your audience to do it.
Oh, okay. Ladies.
$1,000 would cover it.
Asian ladies.
Anyway, as I was saying, it was impossible for me to work with because you also had your sound dropped off. So what I did is gave it to Madge and said, I think we have to skip this show.
Right.
And Madge said, no, let me work on it. And I'm stunned and in awe.
I think we need to let Vera write miniseries.
That you actually made a show.
Yeah, soap operas maybe.
Yeah.
You know, what amazes me about that is that on this show, Madge will go on for 15 minutes on one subject, and both Wanda and I will sit and listen to the shit go on and on and on.
Very true, actually.
But if either Wanda or I talk for more than 30 seconds, all of a sudden the bitch lesbian gets her panties in a crusty old stinky bunch.
Ouch.
Uh-huh.
Where's your now? Okay.
Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm.
Ransty.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Okay, look what I found. Look what I found. I was wondering where it was.
Wednesday.
We're waiting.
You didn't hear it?
Wednesday.
No, I can barely hear the Wednesday in the background.
You're supposed to hear a Wednesday. Wait. I don't know why that Wednesday is broken.
Wednesday.
You didn't hear that, Wednesday?
No, it's so soft you can barely hear it.
It's because it's monochromatic. Anyway, I'll get that Wednesday work.
Monochromatic, it's only black.
Wait.
I love the Wednesday. Oh, hold on.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, heard the hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on. Wednesday.
You're welcome. Hold on. You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday.
Hold on.
I can't get Wednesday working, but I got hold
okay,
on.
Okay, you know
hold
what?
You're welcome.
What was your story? So I fixed
Madge,
the audio.
This isn't your show, so you don't get to repeatedly play your psycho chain of reasoning thought
Wednesday.
Over and over.
I'm just trying to fix Wednesday, and I'm only limiting it to postal things, which you enjoy.
Right,
postal fisting.
I do enjoy them.
Now, can we finish that discussion, please?
What was
fisting?
It?
Sure.
About fisting? Yeah, the reason I axe is because, you know...
Well, how do you feel about fisting before
I'm getting to it, if you don't mind shutting the fuck up for 5 seconds.
I wish you would get to it.
I had to film a scene. I was in New York a few weeks ago doing some pornography filming, and there was a scene. And the guy, you know, we had one of these bottoms calls several times, you know, and he says, look, I just want you to know... And he was scheduled for a shoot. He says, listen, I just want you to know that nothing is off limits with respect to my hole.
Oh.
And we said, okay. And he called the guy who schedules these things back later. He said, look, I just want you to make absolutely sure that you understand this. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is off limits with regard to my hole. And we said, okay. So then he called again, say the same thing. I just want you to know, nothing is off limits here. So don't disappoint me. You know, I really want to give it my all. But if you don't get somebody that's willing to give it all to my hole, then it's not going to work out. So he's telling me that. I said, you know what this means? We have to call in the hot rod, who is
Fister.
Mm-hmm, who is our 10.5-inch, very, very hung, very blacked, with an ED at the end, extremely humongous, ridiculous penis. It looks like a zucchini for a whole family at 20. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
This is a perfect Thanksgiving show.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a cornucopia. That's what. And so...
A horny of plenty.
It's like stuffing one. So he's like, okay, so we'll call him the Hot Rod. So we call Hot Rod, who has the biggest penis in the world. And I says, so I guess you can fist him. You know, you might as well. He's like, oh, that's disgusting, but okay. I'm like, well,
what?
And if he wants you to just stick your whole foot up there, who cares? It sounds like he... So anyway, the guy gets there. He's this Puerto Rican guy. He's completely drunk, and he's drinking, what do you call that thing? The Hervé Tequila or whatever? Jose Cuervo? That thing.
Oh, Hervé Villaches.
He's got
tequila.
A bottle. Yeah. The plane.
The plane, the
feast.
The
feast. And so he comes in with his... He's got the whole... He's just completely off. You know, I thought he was tweaked out on the crystal meth or what. He's drinking. He's like, oh, man, yeah, give it to me. And he starts the shootout by going, okay, you guys. Shh, 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 shh. And then he starts praying. And he prayed to Jesus for a clean hole.
No.
He said, God, Jesus, please make my hole clean. And he kept going to the bathroom and wants his hole clean. I want my hole clean. Good, please. And then he asked us to pray with him.
Oh.
Me and Hot Rod. Come on, guys. Come on. Pray, even though I'm a lesbian. Come on, guys. Let's pray for, help me pray for a clean hole. Come on. And we're just like, okay, yeah. But anyway, the point is we did the
same.
Who did
the Jews pray to when everybody else is praying to Jesus?
For fisting?
Yeah.
We usually leave it up to Satan, pretty much.
Satan, okay. Satan.
Or Abraham, yeah. Or Lot.
Locks.
Locks wife.
Yeah, Locks spread.
Well... Maybe he'd want to sit on Lot's wife.
But seriously.
Okay, so anyway, so the fisting was shot. It was really unbelievably disgusting. And I was so excited because, you know, our stuff is mainly, you know, sexual and not disgusting. And you know how I am. I like to... People love disgusting. I mean, you know what? There's this porn on-demand channel that's the most popular one. It's called AVN or something like that. The most popular video of theirs of all time, straight and gay, is this 1,000 load weekend, where it's some disgusting cum pig takes 1,000 guys load from a paint can up his ass. You know, like they fill a giant gallon jug of cum with his...
Oh my God.
Supposedly. I mean, I'm sure it's really fake. But so this guy is getting injected with 1,000 loads of AIDS-infested, of course, semen. So, but anyway, that's the most downloaded video of all time. period. So, okay, so that's nice. So I thought, well, people are going to like this. So anyway, so I'm like really excited. I even took out the gross parts.
What were the gross parts?
Oh my God.
Prolapse.
No.
A rose.
Prolapse?
A rose. Mm-hmm. Oh. Feel free to insert a Bette Midler song at that point, but that's to you. But so I took out the rose because I'm like, okay, that's disgusting even to me. So, not to Cheryl. So we took out the rose. So, okay, so then I send it out, you know, and I prepare it for the web, and then the webmaster says, this is disgusting, and I think it's illegal, isn't it? Because it's obscene.
Oh, here we go with that. Who knows what's obscene and what isn't?
Right. Well, that's why I brought it up. So I said, oh, well, maybe that's obscene. I don't know. But it kind of ruins the thing because it's like I can't use that video at all if I take out all the fisting because they told me to take out all the fisting. So they research it, him and my boss, the owner. He says, they come back and say, well, we Googled fisting and obscene, and Google says it is obscene. Basically, Googling various articles of, you know, questionable, wherever they came from. I don't know. So I wrote back and I said, well, you have an in-house attorney who sits about 2 feet away from you. Why don't you ask her? After they had already told me to re-edit it, I re-edited, take out the fisting. It's like 10 minutes long after 24, you know, without the fisting. And they said, well, we talked to our lawyer. Our lawyer said that there's no precedent for it, so it's okay. So.
Now, there's fisting all over GayTube.
Right.
So, and they're apparently not concerned about the legality of the obscenity of fisting. Why? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't
why
know. I don't know.
So this is your basic question why you brought this up is, do we believe that it's obscene?
I'm just interested in...
Can we, like, talk about kitty cats?
And we'll get to AIDS in a minute.
Hot
chocolate.
But the thing, you know, the thing is...
Oh, I just said hot chocolate. I'm sorry.
The definition of obscene in this country is very vague. It's basically, you know it when you see it, that kind of thing. If it's not something like what Wanda was saying, if it's not something that a normal human being could do or something like that, it's something weird. But none of it really is, it really has no definition. And even though it's a disgusting thing, it was weird to feel censored. You know?
Sure. Well, did you feel censored or did you feel like, fuck, I did all this work, you can't tell me what to do?
Well, it wasn't that much work.
Oh. I don't understand how you had the patience and the stomach to sit there and watch that. I mean, weren't you just going, ooh, the whole time?
Yeah.
Are there times that let's speak anthropologically.
And
understanding that you're a lesbian, so this really doesn't apply to you. But normally, are there any times when filming porn gets arousing?
Maybe once.
Really?
Out of however many shoots, yeah, maybe once or twice. No.
Really? And do you think, do you think the circumstances of what you are filming as opposed to, or like who you are filming as opposed to what you're filming?
Yeah.
Because it's not physically your type or
It's mostly, something. It's mostly the type of person that I would be attracted to.
Right.
Versus not. And most of the time, vastly most of the time, I guess it's because I'm a lesbian, I'm not attracted in the least to these people.
Right.
So, okay. And plus the smell. I was telling my boss the other day, you know, I have gotten to the point where you can put a blindfold on me and stick two bottles in the room. I can tell you who they are based on how they smell.
Wow. So you become very attuned.
It's the smell, you know. It's smell is such an important sense, and it's the smell that not only tells me who they are, but it often turns me off to the scene because it's so disgusting. All right. Anyway,
and here's my question. You know, like this video with the 300 million loads or whatever, and videos where people.
Oh, it wasn't 300 million. It was only 1,000 loads.
Oh, pardon me.
In a weekend.
Pardon my sense of scale.
Please.
That's the sequel.
Yeah. It's like the 300
million.
Last year it was 1,000. This year, 300 million.
Million loads.
Nine.
Okay, so, nine. That means inches. Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But do you think
Not
it's
the musical
most...
nine.
it's most requested because people just want to see the spectacle or because people are really sexually aroused by watching someone take 1,000 loads? You know what
Maybe
I mean?
Like
that's a very good question.
I think there is a combination, which is sort of the magic button of pornography sometimes.
Sure.
When you can combine the forbidden and the arousing at the same time. Now, I saw the 1,000 load weekend, and it was fucking nasty. I mean, not just, it's like, it wasn't even hot people doing it. It was like what I call horror queens, which are those, you know, gay people that have been so processed through the, you know, garbage disposal that is human sexuality so many times that they look like zombies having sex.
And they're usually like,
missing eyes.
Yeah. Scary
bones
looking.
Down to their knees. Ugh.
Horribly lean and gaunt looking.
And big bellies like Cambodian from the 60s and 70s and that kind of.
I can speak to that personally, Wanda, in that if
your huge belly?
That too.
Oh.
But if I happen to be glancing at pornography, which I
glance.
Never
Whoever glances at pornography.
If I happen to be, which I never do.
When she's in her lounge chair with her pipe.
Yes.
Glances
doing my best Hugh Hefner impersonation. Yeah. And I'm glancing at pornography, and I'm reading the titles or reading the descriptions or looking at the pictures. Because I have very specific tastes in what is arousing to me. But if I happen to come across, no pun intended, fisted by six guys on, you know, with a whatever, I will click on it out of curiosity, not out of sexual, not out of needing to be sexually aroused, but just because how can that possibly happen? And I will watch it. You know, I will watch a person. I actually watched a man stick his entire bald head up a lady's vagina.
Isn't that a goatsy?
Oh.
That's a goatsy, I believe.
No, I think it isn't.
Now,
the
see,
when
the
you
vagina is a miracle.
This from a tranny.
A miracle organ. It's not an organ. Orifice, whatever.
Right.
And so I can understand
That's
fisting a vagina because a vagina can birth a bowling ball practically. But an asshole was never. I sound like one of those old Christian white ladies. The ass is an exit. It's not an entrance. But you know what I mean? Like I could see fisting a vagina.
Wasty. But this wasn't fisting. This was a whole head.
Oh.
He stuck his entire bald head.
Yeah, I know that colloquially, goatsy is used to express the widening of the asshole in the form of a dinner plate with the pins. But I believe, according to the Urban Dictionary, a true goatsy is when you stick your head up there and say, see? I'm not sure. I mean, anybody can research it. I'm not going to because I don't want to crash my business.
You know, what's great is this is really a wonderful Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, you can try it in a turkey. You can go see your turkey every
time. Oh, my God. Everybody stick your head up your turkey. Up your
and take a picture and send it to us.
Yes, please.
Eatthishotshow@gmail.com.
Turkeys on your head.
Anyway, back to the original topic, which was nothing. What about this AIDS prep thing? Now, I had on my show, I think it was a couple of years ago, this person I know whose pseudonym was Prep, and he described how he was doing, you know, taking AIDS medication in prep as a preventative to keep guard against AIDS while he barebacks.
Did you just say GAIDS?
I did. While he barebacks guys during sex parties. And he was, of course, mocked. But it turns out that there was some science behind what he was doing. And apparently there's this new study. Why don't you tell us about it, Wanda, since you tend to be more factual than I?
Well, I can just tell you what we've talked about on Big Gay News, which you can all visit at biggaynews.com. Anyway, so yesterday, right off the wire, there is a pill, an antiretroviral drug that was studied. Where people were given this drug, it's called Truvada. Pull up the whole story here.
Truvada.
And people who took it once a day.
What day? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Hold on.
Overall, there was a 44% drop in HIV infections. Now, when these people actually, because apparently when they did this study, not everybody takes their pill every day like they're supposed to, or right. some of them are not supposed to. Anyway, the ones who took the pill every day more than 90% of the time, they actually saw a 73% decrease in HIV infection rate. So now, before everybody jumps to conclusions, everyone's saying this is groundbreaking research. It's significant. However, you know, until further research can be concluded or what have you, this is not going to, they're not, you know, nobody's recommending this is the only way to prevent HIV infection. You know, people, they don't want people to get too excited about it. At the same time, it's considered a significant study.
Keep barebacking until we know this is effective.
But you know what else they did find, which was interesting, is that the people that took the pill, they actually declined their risky sexual behavior. So some people said if you give people a pill, they're going to engage in more risky behavior. But the studying showed that study showed that people actually decreased their risky sex acts.
Well, you know, it's also interesting for a number of reasons. Also because, you know, and I had a physician, we discussed this on my show a long time ago, who runs an AIDS clinic here. And, you know, and he speaks at various conferences. And you know how they always discuss these things at conferences years before they make it to mainstream after the studies. But there's also a lot of things, medicines coming out that are like gels that contain these antiretrovirals, whatever it's called, these medicines in the form of a gel that's sort of like a spermicide. So you would rub it on your penis or vagina or anus or other fist hole, and it will kill the, it could, let's say, kill the virus or greatly diminish the chance of spreading it by putting this gel on your area. Now, the thing is, so that's nice. But the other thing is that I think about is, well, okay, if you're taking these pills, maybe it works. Let's say it works 100%. But doesn't that mean you're subjecting yourself to all the side effects of AIDS medication without even having it? So things like lipodystrophy and all kinds of cancers that it can cause. I mean, it's basically like a mild form of chemotherapy that you're taking. I mean, is that really realistic? I mean, I understand that it might be a point that they're, you know,
I think it's more, you know, like what I would see is that there's an overall strategy, and this might be something very useful for, I don't know, prostitutes or, you know, not, this is not going to be like here, you know, average sexually active.
Okay, but don't prostitutes use condoms?
Well,
am
yeah,
being
but
an idiot?
Presumably they still get AIDS and HIV, so this would just be one further way to decrease your risk. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is that I think about too, and this is also something that that this AIDS doctor talked about a few years ago, and it's one of these things I think that people don't in the sort of AIDS prevention community don't discuss these things because they can be very dangerous topics. But the other one is the fact that, or the suggestion that people who are already HIV positive, if they're undetectable, then they pretty much can't give transmit the disease because they don't have it in their blood. There's obviously some major arguments against that, which is probably the main one is, well, okay, let's say you're undetectable at the doctor's office and it's November 1st, and then December 15th, you go to have sex unprotected and you think you're undetectable and therefore not able to spread it. And then the next day you go to the doctor's office, found out that the medicine stopped working, and you're back to being with a huge viral load. But I think it's interesting and somewhat ironic that in some ways the safest way to have unprotected sex is with somebody who's HIV positive and who's on retroviral, who's on these medicines and is therefore undetectable, because they have more certainty than somebody who thinks they're HIV negative but is within the 3-month time frame. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, which just seems like a...
It's bizarre.
Yeah, which for the average person is beyond the realm of their...
Well, I think it's interesting because I've always felt that with respect to AIDS prevention and education, it's really important to have as honest a discussion as possible.
Well, and I think to talk about the science without being afraid, because what I saw was, you know, we reported this story yesterday. I didn't report it. I just linked to the damn story, but talked about it on the podcast, that you then saw this wave of sort of interest groups respond and say, because they're very afraid that people will think, oh, there's a cure for AIDS. Which sometimes I think those people, those interests, get in the way of the science. Like, let's talk about the science.
Right. I agree with you. That's the problem I have as well, is that, you know, sometimes that people are so afraid of how people will interpret the information that they don't let people think for themselves, and they just spread all this propaganda, basically.
Sure.
You know, sort of twisting the truth. I mean, the fact is, let the study speak for itself, and then you can come to the conclusions. Like, let's say it's 75% chance. Let's say it's 75% effective. Well, an intelligent person is still not going to do it, because 25% chance that you'll still get it means all you have to do is have sex unprotected four times and you've got it.
Yeah.
So I think anybody who's not capable of that kind of thinking is probably doomed to expire due to Darwinism anyway.
Well, then it
Then
it just becomes a matter of determining what your responsibility for those people is in a society.
Yeah, zero. I would say. Anyway, so yeah, there's that. Any thoughts, Vera? You haven't been very loud on.
No,
that.
I was. Once again, I get very interested in your interchange, because I am sorry to say that because of my lifestyle, I'm not really involved in what's going on in that.
You're not involved in the AIDS.
That's never stopped you from having an opinion before.
True.
Except I don't like to give, believe it or not, I don't like to give uninformed opinions, and I'm not really informed. No. I glanced at the article that Wanda just sent about the medication, and I think a very important point that was made is that people can't, especially the young gay guys, can't think that, oh, if I get this, there's so many pills and everything and it's fine, you know, I don't need to worry about it, because I think that's the message that gets out there. And when you're young, you have that invincibility thing going on anyway, because of your youth. So you add into it this, oh, there's this, you know, you take a cocktail and you're fine.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is those cocktails, as you said just a little while ago, and one of the reasons I don't participate is because the information's getting out there, is those cocktails are very toxic to your body.
Right.
Just because they are preventing you from developing full-blown AIDS, they're also damaging your liver and damaging your organs and doing all kinds of hideous things that you would be so much better off not taking the cocktail.
Yeah.
So I think there's a terrible danger in partial reportage and not complete, you know, there isn't a cure. You don't want to get this disease under any circumstances. If you can possibly avoid it, because it's still as just because you're not dying instantly like we used to.
Yeah.
If it was a death sentence and that was it, that doesn't exist anymore. But the alternatives will keep you alive, but they're not like you know, going out in the park and having a cocktail. It's just I think that's really important. That's my opinion.
And there are people that are still, that the drugs don't work on.
Yes, that's true too.
So, okay, so I would like to change the subject to airport.
What?
Airport scanning.
Woo! Boy, you have been posting shit left and right about that on your fucking Facebook. Why have you got a bug up your butt about scanning and touching?
I would like to.
I hope you're being facetious.
I do want to talk about this, so bring up the topic.
Because it's funny, because I saw our L period friends in like the coffee shops last week, and they're like saying the same thing to me, like, why do you keep posting about that stuff? I'm like, excuse me if it's not Glee. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't give a shit
about
Glee.
What's much more important is, what's that lesbo's name?
Jane.
What she
Jane
had for
somebody.
Lunch is much more important and far more reaching in its importance.
Absolutely.
You know? Jane Lynch.
Okay, so what has your take been on the story?
Well, my take is very simple. It based on my personal experience, which is, okay, I've been flying a lot lately with my boss. He flies first class most of the time. through all these fakakta schemes. And I have never been scanned.
Do you fly first class as well?
If he does, yeah.
Wow.
But so because of this, they have these express security lines for people that travel first class. So I've never had to go through that. Because every time I go to the airport and I'm traveling this way, you go in a special line that's fast that doesn't have those scanners, that just has the normal routine, and you get rushed through. What I find very interesting is that you may recall during the 9/11 hijackings that all of the hijackers flew first class. So if those same people were flying today, they wouldn't get scanned because they're flying first class. So that's the most obvious and ridiculous point from it. Aside from that, I think it's completely ridiculous because it's completely ineffective and has no research behind it. Because if you look at the best security system in the world at airports, it's the Israeli system, and they rely completely on psychological profiling. We don't do that at all. We just have a bunch of morons that stick people through machines and expect the machines to do all the work. It doesn't work that way.
This surprises you about our country?
Who's surprised?
Well, I mean, what I guess I'm asking is, what would you expect? Would you expect us to do something like psychological profiling, which is so much more effective?
What I expect and what I think is best are completely different things.
I think it's one more of those examples of like, here, people, trust us. Here's this magic box that you're going to walk through, and evildoers will be spotted, and otherwise, you'll be just fine. Yeah. There, occasionally, though, we may have to touch your grandmother's appropriately or inappropriately. And
I am surprised, because even for Americans as stupid as we are, it's like we're getting fucking fingered. I mean, this is like ridiculous. If you said this 10 years ago, people would laugh that this is possible. They would think, oh, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. You're completely nuts to think that something like this ridiculous thing would appear. Would actually happen. It's like, concentration camps and the level of ridiculousness, that it wouldn't happen. Like, you're going to an airport, and if you get chosen, you either have to get fingered or put through a dangerous X-ray machine that is going to see your junkies. Plus, it's dangerous. It's by a fucking X-ray.
By the way, the X-ray is not dangerous. The guy who invented it was on the news earlier today, and unless he's totally lying, the amount of X-rays that they shoot at your body is inconsequential.
No, it's not true. And I've read articles completely to the contrary. And of course, you're getting shitty reporting from mainstream media, I think. Because if you look, there's other doctors that are not affiliated with the manufacturing of the machine, which I think causes kind of a bias.
Well, I don't know if this was the creator, the guy who created this. I don't know if it's
But he still has some attachment to it, obviously, since he invented the goddamn thing.
I don't know the science, and I'd be interested. But
okay, well, what this doctor said is that, people say it doesn't penetrate the body, your internal organs, which is true. It doesn't. It bounces off. It hits the skin, and it shows you what's on the skin. The problem is it still gets to your skin, and the skin is an organ, and the radiation touches your skin and has the possibility to break bonds and therefore cause mutation in the skin.
Ooh, okay.
So it is.
Well, and your skin's an organ.
Absolutely. I mean, think of skin cancer, melanoma.
Hammond organ.
It can cause, what's that?
Ethel. She played the Hammond organ.
What's a Hammond organ? Oh, that's a musical thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a large organ. Mm-hmm. They're both large. But so, yeah, I mean, okay, so
here's what I ponder this. Yeah. I mean, my reaction to a lot of this, and I don't know, it sounds like you've paid attention a lot more closely than I have. But
she has. You should see her face.
I feel like this is one of those. I'm like, this is what people are going to get bent out of shape about. Like, the fact that, first of all, people don't even know if this is going to affect them because it's not in all the airports. Like, I've talked to people that have flown that haven't had to worry about this. Second of all, I mean, I wonder if it's just a media hyped story. Like,
what do you mean?
That it's not really that. I mean, there are greater risks to humanity than this particular story. Now, if there's health problems, then obviously. And what my whole reaction to this story is that this is just a smokescreen to get people to think that they're safe. When in actuality, if somebody's going to blow something up, they're probably going to do it whether or not there's, we're X-raying. It's the same thing with that whole, you know, like we need to dig in your purse. You need to take out your liquids. Like it's just another. So when I see sort of the news media going crazy about this particular story, I wonder what their motives behind going crazy over it are really about. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I don't see, I mean, to me, it is a huge assault to our humanity. And it's different from the purse, going through the purse things and taking somewhat reasonable, you know, a reasonable approach to security as opposed to a completely unreasonable one, an unproven one. Like I was reading an article about sort of an editorial in Huffington Post yesterday where this guy was saying, you know, I don't know why people are making such a big deal about this, you know, because, you know, if you have to like touch my junk in order to make sure that airplanes are free, then go ahead and touch it.
Well, that's what I think they're banking on, but obviously that's not.
But the problem is you're assuming that it works.
Yeah.
That's what these people are doing. It doesn't.
Again, I think it could be that the government, like tomorrow, is going to come up and say, you know what, everyone, if we start, we're going to start digging through your hair with a tongue depressor to make sure you don't got terrorist lice, and then everybody will freak out. I mean, it's just like, of course they're absurd and it's not going to protect you, but that's, you know, you recognize it for what it is. I don't know that it's
yeah, but it's
taking anything away
from privacy. It's such an obvious invasion.
But if people are willing to put up with it.
Well, they're clearly not, and I think that's why there's so much attention in the news media about it, is because people are freaking
out. Well, I think people get freaked out because they think somebody's going to touch their bits and pieces. When,
but because they
how
do.
Many, yeah, but how many people of yeah. how many people of the flying public get their jubblies touched?
Oh, if they, well, it works like this. It's not like once in a while. It's not like that. It's like, okay, if you get chosen for this scam, which, you know, I don't know. I would guess, based on what I've seen, and I have been flying a lot lately, is that I'd say maybe 1 in 4 of people flying general sort of economy probably have this thing where they have to go through the scanner.
And if the airport that they're at actually has the scanner.
Yeah, but I will say that every airport I've been to has had it. Every single one in every single gate. It's just that I haven't gone through that particular part of the gate. So I've seen it in 100% of the places I've flown.
Yeah, but you've flown a lot. Have you ever had your bits touched?
I was just explaining no, because I've been flying first class. That's what I'm telling you. But the thing is, but in the line right next to me, which is part of the same gate, is that about 1 in 4, like they'll say, maybe, okay, you go through metal detector.
Yeah.
And then whatever that other thing is called, the X-ray or whatever it's called.
Sure.
So it's probably, I'd say, 25%, but it's definitely real, and it's definitely a huge number. And if you get chosen to go through this thing, you have two choices. You either go through this machine or you get the what they call enhanced search. And when they do the enhanced search, 100% of the time, they are going to touch your junk.
Yeah, but
100% of the time.
But I would just be curious to know ultimately how many people. I mean, I don't like the I don't, you know, I would prefer that this is not happening either, just as a, yeah. you know, the because it just seems ridiculous and it's not protecting anybody. It's the same thing with taking your shit out of your bag. It's not going to help. And now you're basically telling terrorists how to circumvent the system. So it's not going to work. And so that's why I would appreciate it if they just didn't do it. But all this wailing and gnashing of teeth that I see the media talking about this story, I wonder if it's really
it's not
just
an overreaction.
Well, I just wonder if it is an overreaction to what people are more afraid of, which is just the fact that they can't, they're not safe. And if somebody wants, I mean, let me put it this way. They actually probably most likely are safe. However, they feel like they're not safe.
I don't think so. I think the reason for this outcry is, and that might have been true maybe 8 to 10 years ago after this 9/11 stuff happened. But I think people are thinking, you know what? There's always going to be a degree of non-safety, but at the same time, I'm not going to be afraid of every last thing and give, you know, and I think people are more afraid of the government for, you know, I mean, this is sexual harassment or even sexual, there's another word for it, I forget what, sexual, I mean, you're fondling somebody's bits, you're touching their dick.
Oh, I agree. And
vagina.
What I think is reprehensible is like they had this woman who had breast cancer who They made her take out her fake boobie, which I just think is just morally objectionable.
Yeah, I mean,
but why do you think so? Why do you think people are allowing this to happen then?
I don't think they are. I think people are. I think it's going to stop within the next month or so.
Oh, you think that they'll just say, okay.
No, I think it'll change. I'm not sure what it'll be, but the enhanced pat-down will change, and I think they won't touch your jubblies anymore.
Do you know if you refuse, you can be fined like $11,000, which I think that's, you know.
But I think you can just leave, can't you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can turn around and say, I choose not to fly. Thank you. Don't touch me. Goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we just do this on every street corner?
Yeah. I just feel really, really bad for adolescent boys.
No, you just feel bad because you're not one of the screeners. And that's my biggest beef, is that the screeners are always the fat, ugly ones.
Yeah, that's true.
It's fucking bullshit. What, Vera? I'm sorry.
No, it's just that they're, you know, when they're patting you down, they're looking for something hard and stiff. And adolescent boys are always hard and stiff, so... You know, they're going to take them aside and make them strip.
So they're fondling children?
Yes.
They're undressing children.
Well, that's so fucking obscene.
I'd be curious to know what...
They have video of this poor little... He looked like he was probably 4 or 5 years old. And they took his shirt off in the middle of this screening area that everybody... And the person was taking this video on his phone. And there's this little, sweet little boy... getting his shirt taken off by this big man with rubber gloves on.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Mahatma Gandhi's going through with his 20 turbans through first class and doesn't have to get scanned because he's...
I will say that...
Well, it wouldn't have been Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi wouldn't have... Because he just wore a diaper anyway, so, you know, they could have seen
Yeah,
this
but the
right
diaper
away.
Bomber, hello.
That's right. I'm sorry. God. It's true.
Well, now I wonder, you know, see, all it's going to take, I said this to a friend of mine, all it's going to take is for some terrorist to put explosives in his rectal cavity.
Oh, yeah.
And they will be inserting their finger into our anus before you know it.
It's just so laughable and so reactionary, our whole approach to security. And like what they do in Israel is totally different. It's all, you know, they just have basically 6 levels of psychological profiling. They have these people, and a lot of people have, you know, they do this in Europe. At a different, you know, not as much, but they do it like you'll come to the gate and they'll have a person there with a laptop that starts asking you questions like, who packed these bags for you? But they ask it in such a way that they're asking the same questions over again. And the person is trained to psychologically evaluate you by looking in your eyes.
Yeah.
And if you get through that, then they have another person doing the same thing at another level. And the person who wrote the article was saying, if you go into American security, that's the opposite. They never look at you in the eye. They're looking at your bag. They want to make sure you took the shoes off, the belt off. You know, they want you to... They think terrorism has a formula. It's not a formula. You can't. You have to look at the human aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then it's pointless.
Well, that's why I wonder if they do these things just to make people feel safe, not actually to keep people safe.
I don't think they do it to make people feel safe. I think they do it to make politicians stay in office.
Well, yeah. Ultimately, if people feel safe, they're not going to vote out their politicians. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But I don't think it... I think it sort of gets... That's kind of what it is, but I think at the same time, it's not really making people feel safe. I think when it's processed through the system of campaign contributions and public relations and the media, the way it all works is that it twists it so that if these politicians implement these policies that they think will make people think they're safe, then it'll work. And in fact, it does, because the media machine is designed in such a way that a bunch of horseshit goes in and out and somehow it keeps them in office.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of shit.
So what's the solution? We got any solutions?
Well, that's not really, you know, if you want solutions, you can go to TED and, you know, watch all these visionaries. Sure. And they're, yeah. No, the solution is to write the transportation department and tell them you're not going to put up with it by making a stink about it, I guess. I think it's going to work. I think it is working. So...
Veer AIDS. You didn't really say anything about
sleep.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
I don't know about this one. I mean, I agree that these things are definitely invasions of our privacy, but are they necessary? And I don't know. I know for one thing that I won't fly unless I absolutely have to. There will be no joyous flying, let's go on vacation flying, simply because I don't want someone touching my big fat body. You know, I don't get massages because I don't want people touching my big fat body. So I sure as hell am not going to stand in the middle of a room and have some obese idiot with gloves fondling my private parts. So, you know.
So it's going to make you more less likely to fly is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I think ultimately we're going to stop flying. And I mean, this doesn't answer your question at all or really approach the subjects that you're topic brings up, but I think ultimately flying is not going to be around forever when it comes to mass transit. It just doesn't seem very efficient. I mean, the fact that, you know, gas and oil,
right,
to that extent are required, and it's so expensive, and you've, I mean,
well, you know, what happened to the concept, and I don't, once again, I don't know if this would do any good, but there was talk a long time ago about putting marshals on planes. Armed
they have them.
People.
They have them.
They just have armed.
So you never know, but there
plane.
Could be somebody yeah. with a gun sitting in, you know, row A29.
There has been controversy about that because the airlines, you know, a lot of the time, if not most of the time, these marshals sit in first class, and there's been talk. The airlines want them not to be able to sit in first class because they can sell the seats. So I know that they're still doing it because there was that discussion recently.
Okay.
Are you an air marshal?
Myself?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not supposed to talk about it, but...
Wouldn't that be hilarious if, like, Wanda Wisdom was an air marshal? Pardon me, ma'am.
Hi there, ho there, hello there, ladies.
Everybody sit down!
Yeah.
I'll save us.
Well, does anyone have a nice Thanksgiving recipe to share?
Well, I was going to ask if what are your yeah. Thanksgiving plans so that we could end maybe on a Thanksgiving note. Wanda, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, I am actually within a half an hour heading out of town. I'm going to Central Illinois.
Weird. Yeah. Is that where your boyfriend is from?
Yep, we're going to Kong's hometown.
Kong.
And Kwong.
Are you dating a Chinaman?
No, he's a big ape.
Ow.
No comments.
Yeah. And he keeps pudding in his shorts.
No, different one.
I know.
No, like King Kong.
We get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So you're going to Kong's?
Yes. So we'll be leaving the winter wasteland that is Minnesota because it's I haven't looked outside, but I think it's actually it's supposed to snow. So we'll be leaving the snow shortly, and I'll be meeting his family for the very first time.
Oh, wow. Meeting the in-laws, or yes. the almost
what,
in-laws.
What,
or the...
what, you don't want to say what town?
Well, it's near Bloomington Normal.
Okay.
I prefer Bloomington Abnormal. Madge, what are your Thanksgiving plans?
I'm going to my sister's, and we're having a Whole Foods, one of those prepared Thanksgivings, which I think is so... wonderful, because I'm just so against the guilt that is Thanksgiving dinner cleanup.
Oh. And what guilt would that be?
Madge, will you clean up? Can you help clean up for change? I say you ate everything. You certainly like the food. Maybe you could clean up. You didn't set the table. Can you help? Can you help your mother? Can you help your father? Can you help? No, like you're contributing financially.
Beep, 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 beep. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. In spades, you should forgive the racist comment. That's wonderful. Oh, my God. So you basically have the same kind of family dynamic as almost everybody does.
Pretty much.
I think, certainly, Jews. I think everybody, with some exception, everybody hates this holiday. It's just
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
All right.
I hate Christmas.
Well, you're a Jew.
Hey, listen, any holiday that revolves around eating, is not a bad thing. You know, Christmas bothers me because I don't celebrate it and the world goes nuts, or this country goes nuts about it, and it's stupid. But Thanksgiving's a lot of food, and I hate Indians.
Oh, good.
Oh. Yeah. Call center or casino?
I'm just kidding. I don't hate them. All right. Well, that's enough grumming for today, and thank you, white ladies. And goodbye, Vera. Do you have anything last to say, last words to say, and maybe give your website out for people that want to hear your private grum, your
You're really, really good at this. Have you been doing it for a while?
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you stupid cunt?
Thank you. I needed that sound bite. Thank you so much. yes, I want to say to everybody listening, if you live in the United States and you happen to celebrate Thanksgiving, have a wonderful, incredible, bountiful and exciting Thanksgiving. If you're outside of the country, have an incredible Thursday, because that it will be Thanksgiving Day. And you can find me, if you choose to listen to my brand of insanity, at veraspeaks.com.
I took a while to get that out. And One Turd Wisdom, who has an upcoming holiday special.
I do. Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you for mentioning it.
All right, and what else do you want to mention?
Yes, I do have an exciting...
What about your Earl?
Wahoo?
Your Earl.
What?
Don't you got an Earl?
Oh, Earl. Yes. Do you still have to say the W?
No, but it's your initials, so it's okay.
WandaWisdom.com. I wonder if I could get www.www.com.
Now you better do it before this grum airs, because you know
everybody's going. Anyway, I love you all, and may your turkeys be tender and your giblets moist.
Wow. And I'm Matt Weinstein of YeastRadio.com. See you next time. We don't know when that'll be. And donate money, and maybe it'll come sooner. EatTheSideShow.com. There's a PayPal link. Give us money. We need it. We're going to die. It's a recession or something.
Yeah, all of that. Okay.
And lastly... Bye. Oh, it won't work.
Mm-hmm. Nasty. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Okay. Are we done?
Yep.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you stupid cunt?